listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, church. You doing all right?
Good morning.
Hey, welcome, my beautiful bride.
Thank you.
On Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Want to kiss your love? We'll start something we can't finish, but praise the Lord. Hey, if you're watching online right now, you want to share this. It could be very interesting today. And then for those of you in the room or even watching online, pull out something to take notes with. If you don't, let's just put that as a billboard that you don't think God's going to say anything. So, any pressure? So pull out something to take notes with. God's going to speak to you today, and we're excited about what God is doing. You know, on Valentine's Day, I think that it's so good just to say, like, it's wonderful to know someone.
Yeah.
Somebody that loves you, that's there for you. And, you know, for Kaya and I, we have a shorthand relationship in our life that, yeah.
I'm just kidding. And,
this is how we drive down the road, by the way. You know, no, I'm just kidding. You have to ask for Grey Poupon if you're going to do that, but I love having a shorthand relationship. You're stupid. Anyway,
we'll tell you later.
When you have a relationship that, like, you can look at each other from across the room, mm-hmm. right, and be able to have a whole conversation, or Kai and I have this trick where if we're holding hands, we can have a whole conversation just by how we're holding hands.
Entire conversation.
Right? It might be like, I love you. You know, I just love you. It might be like, we need to leave this place. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, we also have a look that says that. We're at a party and everything. Kai is even more funny. If we're at a party and a whole bunch of people are over at our house, y'all think I'm recluse. I'm not the one.
It's me.
Kai will say, well, listen, let's pray for y'all before you leave.
Good night.
You catch that? Real slick, Kaya. But, you know, we know each other, and that's a huge deal.
So we met when I was 14 and he was 17. And so as you can imagine, at 14 and 17 years old, I thought he was a nice guy. I thought he dressed well. He wore Abercrombie & Fitch, and he looked really sharp, and he smelled good. But to be honest, I wouldn't have trusted anything that he said to me. Like, you know, basic things, sure, but, like, I wouldn't believe just anything that he were to say. However, fast forward, we've known each other about 18 years now. And I can tell you that over the course of 18 years, I've gotten to know this guy. Like, I know him. If he tells me something, I believe him. Why? Because over the course of 18 years, I've spent a lot of time with him. I know his ways. I know how he works. His word means something to me. Whatever he has told me he's going to do, he's done it. And so he has his track record with me. And so one thing is, if my...
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Not to toot your
horn.
That's
crazy, but yeah, love you.
So anyways, I've watched him over 18 years suffer to his own word, things that were hard to stick to. He's done it because he gave me his word on it. And to this day, I will say this to anybody. If my husband were to walk up to me today after church and say, Kaya, tomorrow we're going to live on the moon. Do you know where I'd be living tomorrow? I'd live on the moon. It wouldn't matter what any of you thought. It wouldn't matter what anybody said to me. I would believe if he told me tomorrow we'd live on the moon because we know each other.
In the same way, your relationship with God, it works with that. You need to get to know him, learn who he is. And you're not going to trust what's being said unless you actually trust him.
Yeah. In fact, I want you guys to write this down. You're going to struggle to trust God if you don't truly know him. You're going to struggle. It'll be actually probably next to impossible if you don't know him to trust even things that we tell you, unless you know God for yourself.
For me, when I rededicated my life to Christ at 17, the country church I came from, they were big on the Word of God, even scripture, memory, all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until I rededicated that I was able to kind of fill in the gaps about a lot of things. And I missed a lot of it, and that helped with the scripture. But you know what helped even more? Me worshiping.
Amen.
Me getting into God's presence and learning who he was in the word and learning who he was through God's presence. And what that built was confidence for me. And so anyway, Kai and I, we got away last week. It was wonderful. Thank you. The staff and team almost has to force us out to do that. But it was so good for us to be able to just rest and relax and enjoy.
We have four kids that are five and under. And so when we're around each other, sometimes we'll be looking at each other, but, like, we're not really hearing what each other's saying.
We're giving that look like we should get out of here.
We're giving the look like, I just need some time away with you. But we did. We were able to get away.
And we had a great time. you know, and made memories, but we opened up a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
We also were able to hear about last week for you. And if you weren't here, Pastor Tommy, he's an evangelist.
Yeah.
He came in here and preached, and from what we understand, it was just so dynamic and amazing. And one of his points, or I would even say the arc of his message, he was giving, some sort of athletic example
athletic.
About X's and O's, right? And he was talking about being on your ex, you know, and how God blesses a position. And so Kai and I, you know, I'm a guy that, one of the reasons why you like me is I just explain stuff, you know. But that all comes from us talking and having questions like, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like the dude, get out of here, you know. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get on my ex. And 2 weeks goes by and you're like, am I there? What does that mean? And so when we're talking about getting on your ex, my question was, how do you know? How do you know that the blessing of God is there? How do you know that you're in the right spot, that it's the real thing? And so that opened up the story that Kaya shared. So, yeah.
So, like many of you, I struggle a little bit with Facebook right now. I just want to, like, I'm not going on there. I hate that thing. But the reality is I get back on there, and here's where I'm at now. Facebook is so dark. Like, it's dark enough that, you know what, I'm going to be some light on there, and so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, as I'm on Facebook, do you guys know those quizzes that they'll put up? It'll be like, tell me all these things about you. I don't take them because I don't want you guys to know those things about me. Just kidding. But I don't take those tests, but I love reading yours. And so as I was scrolling, one of the questions came up that said, favorite ice cream. And you know how if you read something, you're going to naturally just answer it to yourself. So I'm scrolling, looking at everybody else's stuff, and I'm thinking, oh, well, my favorite ice cream is mint chocolate chip. And I just keep scrolling. Well, God says, he kind of interrupts my Facebook scrolling, and he says, well,
how dare he?
Yeah, I know, right? I'm glad he did, though. He said, Kaya, you don't even really like ice cream. And I was like, yeah, but I'm just like answering because I like mint chocolate chip. But he says, wait a minute, Kaya. No, you don't really like ice cream. If somebody were to come up to you and give you white mint chocolate chip ice cream, you wouldn't really like it.
Party foul.
Yes, please don't do it. Shamrock shake, don't want it. I don't like milkshakes either. If somebody were to bring you green mint chocolate chip with swirl chocolate, you would not eat it. I know, just go with me. This is weird. I'm weird, but it's all right.
It's a lot.
He says, you like mint chocolate chip, but not just any mint chocolate chip. You like Hudsonville or something like it where you have to chew your ice cream. Anybody else have to chew? Yes, okay, so I have to chew my ice cream. I don't want something nice and smooth and creamy. So God's speaking to me and he says, Kaya, it's specific. And I know this about you because we spend time together. I know if you were to answer this little quiz on Facebook and it says mint chocolate chip ice cream, you don't really mean mint chocolate chip ice cream. You mean Hudsonville mint chocolate chip chew your ice cream. And I'm like, yeah? Okay, awesome. I know God well enough to know he's not just trying to reveal to me my favorite ice cream because clearly I know that. But he was trying to convey a point. When you know somebody, you know what they mean when they say things. When my husband squeezes my hand, I'm telling you, it could mean a million different things, but I'm going to know what he's talking about because I know him. I know him. So God was showing me, Kaya, I'm the same way. There are things that I say that mean a very specific thing. That if you were to just scroll through, if you were to hear somebody else say this to you, you might get the wrong impression of me. You might believe something that isn't true about me because you don't know me.
Yeah, and when you were talking about that, it was like, you know, so many things with God, it's like that. Mm-hmm. The world has a vignette of what they think God means by it. And they can even be saying mint chocolate chip, so to speak. You know what I mean? They're using the same verbiage. Mm-hmm. They're using the same lingo. But it's not all exactly what God means by that. And the cool thing is, how do we interpret the Bible? We interpret the Bible with the Bible. So you can find out what he means. You might not like it. You know, it might be a paper cut in so many ways, mm-hmm. But
he's not going to waste his word.
Yeah.
God is not going to waste his word. And so when you know God, when you know his character, and you know the truth about him, what God was conveying to me was, Kaya, when you know me, you're going to know the truth. You're going to be able to receive things from me, and it's not going to matter what anybody else says. Imagine your husband sitting next to you and saying, Kaya, we're going to live on the moon. Well, you're going to believe him no matter what anyone else says, no matter how crazy it sounds, no matter not even understanding, well, how does that work? You know, like, I don't even get it. It doesn't matter because you trust this person. And so God is conveying that people miss it. They miss relationship with me. They miss receiving from me when they make these assumptions and they take somebody else's word for something. And I'm susceptible to this. I'll put it that way. So has anybody ever believed a lie? Am I the, okay, thank you. Some people have believed a lie. Okay, so growing up, I was told, Kaya, you have the best fish lips I've ever seen in my whole life. So I was today years old, actually mid-20s, when I realized, oh, I don't actually have the best fish lips.
Make the fish lips.
Okay, ready?
So
it's
some
not
uncle,
the best fish
some,
lips in the whole world.
Some uncle or relative of Kaya comes up to her when she's a kid, and she's just being a kid, and says, you have the best. Fish lips.
Yeah.
And Kaya, we're married for years before Kaya realizes.
And I
realizes,
would tell him, do you know that I have the best fish? And I promise to God.
And she
showed
me,
you know,
I'm like,
I have the best.
They're all right, you know. I mean, I've seen some
did
better,
not
but, you know.
Me in it.
It's like, what are we doing, you know? But here's here was the revelation at that moment is she believed what somebody was saying. And so here's what we're saying is this. Is that God in his word, he has specific things, right? He's trying to convey specific things. But you might have heard somebody tell you something about it, and so you're just like, yeah, that's what it is. Or maybe you heard of somebody's bad experience, and you're trying to reconcile that with the Word of God that has a clear promise, but you're like, yeah, but I went through, and so you're telling yourself, no, it didn't work because, you know what I'm saying, everybody? And so what happens is you end up living your spiritual life being like, I have the best fish lips, or or maybe in the negative way, like, I can't do fish lips, whatever, you know, but you're missing out because of experience, because of circumstance, not based on what God said about things. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, and typically people don't mean bad when they're influencing you.
No.
They don't mean bad. And what I've found is it's not, even though it's not the truth, these things become strongholds that we take into our adulthood believing. So something we hear as a little kid or as a young adult, we just hear it. We don't even realize that it becomes a stronghold that when we need to receive something from God, we can't. Why? Because we believe something that was a lie for so long. And people don't always mean bad. They might not even be trying to deceive you, but it happens.
And you can't have a secondhand faith. You can't inherit your faith from your parents. You can't inherit from a godly person in your life. Does that make sense? You got to stand on your own 2 feet. And so everything that they might say is right, but I think that there's something about understanding the promise of God that you have to get it for yourself.
Amen.
You have to mine that out. And so when God says that he is something, or if he says a promise or whatever, I want you to write this down. Many times we base our beliefs on our understanding of the cultural English definition, or maybe like someone else's life experience or what another person has said about what God has said. Maybe you need to snap a picture of that with your phone. That's a big deal because you want to have your beliefs formed by the Word of God.
That's right.
You want to make the Word of God the thing that changes what you think, say, and do. And if you let other things get in there, listen, even testimonies. I'm a testimony guy. We overcome by the word, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But listen, you can have a great testimony, but then sometimes there's a couple little pieces in there. Now, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But God did come through in that way. And what happens is people just take it in as though the whole thing was gospel truth. And you got to get in the Word of God for yourself. So God has truth for us today. And what we need to do as the church is we need to find that truth and we need to assimilate it into our lives and ultimately get peace about that truth. Amen?
Amen.
So if you have your Bibles, why don't you pull them out and open to 1 John. I want to read a little bit for you out of 1 John chapter 2. This is what the Bible says. It's, I think, very apropos for where we're at as a nation, really as the whole world. It says this in 1 John 2. I'm going to start in verse 18. Children, in other words, children of God, Christians, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. And here's what that means is that any spirit on the world, on social media, the news, a political party that would be opposite from God's will, it's not just neutral.
Right.
It's positive or negative, right? It's God or it's the spirit of Antichrist. Does that make sense? So what he's saying is, you know, many have come. There's different movements. There's different mountains of influence. You know, in our world, we've got news. We've got social media. We've got movies. We've got TV. We have politics. We have school. You look at all the different mountains of influence. And in those different realms, there are influencers. They even call themselves. Kyle loves it when they call themselves that on
word.
Social media.
Gross.
An influencer. Oh, you're a big deal, big boy, you know. And so, you know, but there's people out there, and they don't, it's not a resting spirit of just neutral. It's the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
Now, that's nuts if you start calling them out that way. And that's not really our job. It's rating this to the children. It's not rating this to the world. So don't call everybody, don't call your boss the Antichrist. You might get fired. No liability. So it continues on. Verse 20. You have been anointed by the Holy One. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And because no lies of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. Everybody say the word abide.
Abide.
Verse 26, I write these things to you about those that are trying to deceive you. Massive. They're trying to deceive you. The anointing that you receive from him abides in you. His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it was taught to you by him, right? Abide in him. So what God's saying in here is that, look, Christian, you need to find your confidence in God, in God's word. And I think the Old Testament scripture says that he'll broaden the pathway beneath your feet that you might not slip. Some of y'all are so afraid about taking a step. You're like, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to say it wrong. I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to, you know, start talking to somebody about Jesus and mix a little bit of Latter-day Saints in there because I just don't know better. You know, I don't know. You need to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need to let God do his thing. Talk to people. Don't try to act like you know more than you do. I got myself into a whole bunch of trouble trying to do that. And you let the anointing that God has
Amen.
Given you direct you in that. But here's the whole idea of this passage is that, in the world, these different influencers of whatever area that we talked about, right? It's all meant by the enemy, whether they mean it or not, right? Some of them are so stupid, they don't know what motive even means. They're just trying to be famous, right? But what they're missing is the fact that they're influenced by the kingdom of darkness, and they're trying to deceive you. And what I'm seeing is, in the body of Christ, a ton of deception. I'm seeing a lot of churches and pastors that are so deceived right now. It just makes me go nuts. I mean, it just makes me want to throat punch some of these guys because they're just, Kaya too. And so that's our spiritual gift. And so,
throat punch.
but they're keeping their churches closed for 100 years, you know, and the Bible warns us about these things.
Right.
Like, do not forsake it, especially as you see that day approaching. And they're blowing off gathering all together, and they're rallying behind people that are using different, I mean, you want to know one mountain of influence in our world is race baiting, right?
Yeah.
If you're a racist, repent.
Amen.
Repent of that.
Mm-hmm.
Get your life right with God.
Yep.
But don't be so desperate to prove you're not a racist that you Michael Scott yourself into some sort of version of not racism that sounds pretty racist to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? And so what happens is we end up becoming evangelists for race instead of evangelists for the gospel. You know, the enemy will send people into your life that it's not even necessarily that they're even bringing something bad to you, but it's meant to distract you and get you off from what you're actually supposed to be talking about and doing. Like, don't take the bait on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you need to be the first person to be like, man, red, yellow, black, white, they are precious in his sight.
Right.
We ain't racist. You get a life. You know, if you're a nut like that, you know, back in the day, Ed, we'd take him out back behind the church and deal with racism quick. We're done with you being a racist. Act right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever do that again, you know? And I'll tell you, we'll kick you out of the church if you're that way.
Yeah.
You're out of here. I have no patience for that junk. And at the same time, I'm not going to let people come in here with so-called racism training. That's the most racist thing I've ever heard in my entire life. The world is trying to deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we read? It's trying to divide you, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to open our eyes and be aware of that. It's going to try to do it. I have never felt more of a war in the heavenlies than I have in the last 3 months. I have not felt it my entire Christian walk. I have not felt such tension in the air, such effort for the enemy to divide America, divide races, divide social classes, divide people economically, divide people based on religion, all of it. It's just in the air. So what we have to do is we have to grow in confidence of what God says, because there's a lot of claims being made, a lot of claims about others, claims about God, and so people are being flippant with what they say about things.
Yep.
Now, you don't listen to people unless you respect them. You don't listen to it. You might listen to them for a second and be like, you're an idiot. You know, there's people that everybody's like that, right? But you don't really listen to them and assimilate what they're saying into your life unless you respect them. But there's people that you respect and respected before this like division thing came on our country so strongly that they're saying stuff now. And some of you are like, okay, you know, and you're going along with it. Some people that you enjoy in movies and stuff like that. By the way, if you're an actor, what in the world qualification is that you should even voice a political opinion is beyond me. But
shame the devil's all the time.
Shame, glory. Okay. So what it's doing is it's making Christians, good people, stumble with their beliefs
right. And
stumble with their calling. And you might have heard from God that you're supposed to do something, right, beyond the X, but you're struggling with that because you're a racist or you're not focusing on what matters or you're not celebrating the right things. And it's not enough for the world that you just let them be sinful in private. You not only have to see it and it's an open display, but now you must accept it. And if you don't accept it, you're a domestic terrorist. You're not tolerant. You watch. The day is coming and even is here where they will call fundamental Christians. That's us. We believe in the fundamental truths of God's word.
Amen.
Where they call fundamental Christians bigots because we believe what the word of God says through and through, cover to cover. I even believe the maps, everybody. And so they're going to call you a bigot because of it. So what do? We have to remember three things. Jot these down. God is who he says that he is. As he is through and through, right? God does what he says he will do, and God does not go back on his word. Somebody say amen.
Amen. And we can know that that is the truth, but honestly, as Americans, as Christians, and really just as a human being, it's sometimes really hard to do that. It's hard when we really do, if we're honest, we want the easy button from now until we get to heaven. Until we die, we wish that life could be easy. I don't want people to not like me. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to have to fight with people. I don't want to. We want this perfect pathway. But it doesn't exist because we actually serve a God that doesn't mind us going through the fire. We serve a God that doesn't mind us fighting giants.
Notice what she said, going through it.
Yes.
He's not going to let you burn.
Amen.
But sometimes you're like, I'm going through a fire right now. This is awful. He'll get you through.
He doesn't mind allowing us to go through what feels like impossible situations. But once again, you have to know God to know that in those situations where you feel like, where are you, God? This is the worst. This makes no sense. Well, that's actually where God is, but you have to know his ways, that he's not abandoned you. God has not caused those horrible things to happen to you. He's not left you because you did something wrong. No. If you know his ways, you know that in those moments where he's allowing you to go through those things, he's never been closer to you. Write this down. God's word shows us his ways. We're going to learn the ways of God through studying the word. I love this Reverend Billy Graham. He would say that the Bible is like God's love letter to us. And so many of us are like, well, I've tried to read that before, and it's just so confusing, and I don't really understand it that well, and I don't know. Well, what Billy Graham said was, well, if somebody were to give you a love letter, you would read that, wouldn't you? It wouldn't matter if it was in cursive and you could barely read it or if it was faded. See, my love language when we first got together was words of affirmation.
Beat that out of her quick.
But it was words of affirmation. And so it didn't matter if it was like a text that said, I love you. I'd go back and I'd read it 1,000 times because he loves me, you know.
I'm oblivious to that sensation. You tell me you like what I'm doing or don't like what I'm doing. I'm going to obey God. You know, like, I don't care about Ephraimikaya. And here's the truth. I had to get beat into being like, I love you, and say it more than at the altar when we got married. You know, like, I love you. I appreciate what you're doing. God, you've been so good to me. Sorry, keep going.
Anyways, and so I had to learn that. So God's word, you kind of screwed me up a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
I'm like, what are we talking
your love
about
letters.
Anymore?
I'm writing you love letters.
So when we were first dating, I would read those things, and it didn't matter if it was a struggle, if it was in cursive, whatever it was, I would figure it out. And so that's the point with God's word. Like, can't you believe that something would stick out to you? Like, it's God's word. It's his love letter to you. The Bible is going to show you everything that God did for you. Insert yourself into every story. It was for you, for you personally. And so act like me when I was first dating and reading through these, all these words of affirmation for me. It makes you feel so good. It makes you feel so loved. Well, if you get into the word, what you're going to be able to do, what we find often is somebody will come to us and be like, Pastor Joe and Kaya, pray for me about XYZ. And we're like, well, what scripture are you standing on? Most times people are looking to us to give them that. Well, can you give me one? And it's like, oh man, you're missing it, because if you were to get into the word, it's alive. And God wants to give you that love letter, so to speak, that's going to give you exactly what you need.
That's so good. You know, we have to be people that receive God's word and what it says to us and assimilate that into our lives, doing what it says. And I'll tell you, it didn't matter that I wrote everything in all caps. You know, my dad was in design, and I'm writing everything in all caps, total dude print, you know.
I had to get used to that.
And
I write pretty.
She didn't care about it. She didn't care, like, I've grown so much in my grammar and spelling and all that stuff. But, I mean, if it was just rough, Kaya loved the fact that she got the note, and it was there. And so we have to approach God's word like that. You know, the reality is, in this world and in this life, we have so many things that are just stolen from us. Things are just taken.
I mean, we've witnessed so many time after time, of God's will not happening even in our own life. Or we're like, wait, that was not God's
where there was a promise.
Right, where there was a promise.
And we're not experiencing that. Mm-hmm. Like, God, you said this, but we're experiencing that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You end up going through things like that. I'm going to tell you the worst thing you can do. You say, well, I guess it just must not have been his will. Mm-hmm. No. You're going through something. You think that the blessings of God are going to fall into your lap like ripe cherries off a tree. Buddy, you got another thing coming. This life is going to be a war. And if you fight the good fight of faith, you'll prevail and you'll get the cherries, everybody. You'll get the blessing of God. But it will be a war. And you can't hate... Can't hate the game, everybody. You have to embrace that. You have to lean into it. Get some grit to you.
Because otherwise, you make yourself a target to the devil. Because the devil knows that with every attack, if he can get you to believe, oh, well, that area must just not be for me. Perfect. He won because he thinks that with every defeat, he'll get you to get off of God's promise for it. But instead, I think we should do the opposite thing and realize that those very things that the enemy has tried to say, those are not for you. No, those are the very things that God wants to get to you.
And it all goes back to ice cream, okay?
So, Chip Hudsonville.
So when you have relationships in your life, you're watching a TV preacher or watching media or whatever, and they everybody's talking. Anybody else notice you just go through TV? Everybody's talking. It's just, wow, we watch just a lot of other people talking. Mm-hmm. And we assimilate these things, and if it doesn't line up with the word, we have to have a better filter. But what happens? We trust the person, and we end up going along with it. Or how about this? Somebody's telling you truth, but we don't trust the person because we have issues with people or relationships, or I'm going to trust men anymore, you know, or whatever it's going to be. And so what happens is, like, you can hear truth, but you can't even hear it. That's where Jesus said, ye have ears to hear, let them hear, you know? And so we miss context, and we make assumptions based on what we think or what we think of the person, good or bad, and or other people's experience. Like, it didn't work for them, so the promise must not be for today. And we start to piece these things together in our little noggin, and I got to tell you, that's above my pay grade.
Mine too.
That's not my issue.
Yeah, and no relationship works one-sided. I think we can all agree with that. So our relationship with God is no different. And so I feel like what God was ministering to me through the whole ice cream thing, it all goes back to ice cream, is that it is time to take back what the enemy is trying to steal from you. He's trying. We got to not let him.
Quit going for Shamrock Shakes, everybody.
Yeah.
If you like Hudsonville Chunky, go for the real thing.
That's right. Maybe you think that, well, the enemy's not trying to steal anything from me. Well, then I'm going to challenge you with this. What are the things that you feel like, well, that would just never be for me? Those are for other Christians, like healing in your body. Well, that's for more spiritual people. That's for somebody else.
A different age.
Somebody's suffering more than me. No. Healing. Or maybe you're somebody who feels like, well, promotion is never for me. God doesn't really care if I'm successful. Or I don't really think I could ever have honoring, obedient children. I just don't think God gave me naughty kids, and it's going to be that way forever. I don't think that I could have.
Pause. They all come that way.
Preach.
They come in kit form. There's a lot of assembly required. They're all jerks. Keep going.
Maybe you feel like you're doomed to have a marriage that will never be what the Bible says could be heaven on earth. Well, that's for other people. That's for somebody else. Or maybe you just think, well, God doesn't really want to bless me. Okay. The devil does not want you to receive any of those things from God. But those are all promises that God says you can have. And not only says you can have, he desires to give those to you.
But people take the bait.
Yes. And so what God was saying is, Kaya, I know that you like the mint chocolate chip ice cream Hudsonville, Well, you know me. Kaya, you know me. And I want you to begin to take back those things that have been stolen from you. And so I want to ask you, what are some of those things that you feel like, I feel like that's been taken from me. I feel like a good relationship with my spouse has been taken from me. I feel like I've lost with my kids. I feel like I've totally given up at work. Like I'm not even fighting anymore. What is this?
Write them down. Mm-hmm. Like right now, as the Holy Spirit speaks, you write them down. Yeah. God's talking
to
everybody.
What are the things that you've given up on that you feel like God really doesn't care about that as we're speaking, you're realizing, oh, that's the devil trying to tell me something that's a lie. And write this down. Let's make our relationship with God stronger than our past experiences. Because I have past experiences like all of you that shape us. Because that's what happened in the past, we're tempted to feel like, well, that's what's going to happen in the future.
Well, we believe in God's healing power, right? Kaya grew up in that world. Mm-hmm. But tell them the story about your mom.
So my mom, when I was 14, got diagnosed with breast cancer. And we were a family that, believe it or not, I grew up in a pastor's home. We didn't talk about death because death was saying, you know, it was going against what we believed God had for her, which was life and life abundantly. And she was going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So for 10 years of my life, I grew up going to chemo treatments, having to go to the doctors, oncologists, and all these things. And she was living this whole time. Well, on her deathbed, because she died. She died believing in her healing. Well, talk about screwing kids up. Like, I was 24 at the time. I had a 16-year-old little sister. And here we are. Mom died while preaching to us that God is the healer every time.
And we'd seen people get healed through her ministry.
And I've seen
physically.
My mom would. There was a crazy time where my hand got slammed in the door. My hand was broken and she prayed.
I slammed it. That was very generous.
I wasn't going to tell on you. He broke my hand.
I feel like
oh,
a dirtbag still.
Get a tell, honey. Anyways, my mom immediately laid her hands because she was right there, and my hand went back into place. Like, there was healing power in my mom's hand, yet my mom, Johanna, she died of cancer. I struggled with that. I remember saying, God, I know that's not you. Your word says, and I believe your word. I don't get it. And this is the hard thing. Sometimes God's word, it cuts you. It's really sometimes not maybe what you want to hear, but you need to hear it. And so what God ministered to my family throughout several years when I was saying, God, I want to believe you for healing again. I don't want my whole life to wonder, when I have kids, are you going to heal us? And what God said was, Kaya, there's things that I have spoken, and you don't know them. Okay, well, that's satisfying. One thing I do know about my mom that he revealed was when I was in fourth grade, and really it should have been sooner, God told her to go to the doctor. And she later, years, admitted that I was too scared. I felt like the Lord was telling me over. Oh, yeah. Over and over and over. Go to the doctor, Johanna. Go to the doctor. Get it checked out. Ooh, paralyzing fear. She didn't want to face that reality. Okay, so she didn't go. So when they caught it, finally when she decided to be obedient and listen to the prompting the Holy Spirit had given her, she was at a stage that was very advanced.
And I want to say that if you biff it,
yep,
and we all do, that is not your death sentence
Amen.
Necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She missed it that time.
Yep.
But life continued on. God is gracious, and he was working, you know, but more things were happening.
So as we're in the hospital, my mom is passing. My dad pulls all of me and my siblings aside and says, I have to have a serious talk with you. And this was kind of like she's going to die moment, which I fought that like crazy. But anyways, he says.
I got kicked out by a nurse.
I got kicked out.
Fighting
nurse,
with
the
nurse.
Doctor
the doctor said, don't you dare speak death over my mom. Literally had to leave the room.
Me out of that room.
I love my wife. Okay.
Anyways.
Proceed.
So my dad's trying to explain, okay, Kaya, this is where we're at, and it's serious, and she is going to pass. And he says, Kaya, what God has shown me is your mom was able to believe for healing. For everyone else around her, I watched it. Healing power in her hands. She couldn't receive it for herself.
Had a hard time receiving.
She had a very hard time receiving for herself. She could do for everyone else, but in her mind, she, whether it wasn't worthy or didn't do enough or whatever it was, my mom could not receive healing. When God said freely receive it to her, she had a hang up with that. So my mom passed away, and like I said, I had to really reconcile, like, okay, God, how do I believe in healing again? And what he brings me back to is I don't know things that were said. And I don't know what people's responses are to those very things that God tells them to do.
You know, so her mom heard from God. We know that because God speaks, right?
Yep.
And so we don't know what she ignored. We don't know what she went along with.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I had when we were still in the hospital and she was still alive, I said, I believe God's going to show her a vision of everything's going to be okay here on earth. And heaven is awesome. And as soon as you get there, you're like, this is awesome. You're going to turn around. There's all your family and kids. It's just days, a thousand years. And so, you know, we don't know that God didn't give her choice. But back to our point is, if you start to make your doctrinal beliefs, if you start to form those based on the circumstance, you don't know what God spoke to her along
That's
the way,
right.
where she missed it. Or where she had wins. And so you got to live your life before God in his word. I want you to hear this out of John's Gospel chapter 8, because you just don't know what God's spoken, right? John 8, verse 31. If you abide in my word, Jesus says, you're my disciples indeed. Mm-hmm. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here's what I want you to see, everybody. There's a Bible word called reproof. Every once in a while, you'll hear me tell a story about somebody that you don't know or a long time ago, or I conceal their identity to prevent them from being embarrassed, but it's a time that they messed up. And I give the reproof, and that helps us. We all grow from hearing about when somebody messes up. I love hearing about when people succeed. Yeah. How many of y'all just want to be honest? You like it when you hear stories about when somebody biffed it and how they got out of it, you know? And so, but I want you to see this. Doing the archaeology on when somebody messed up is so great, but God is so big, he does not require you to have to do that archaeology for you to follow him in an area that you don't know about,
Amen.
Somebody who messed up or did it. He's going to deal with you as an individual,
yes.
as a person. He cares for you. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. And so write this down. We want you to know God, and so there's no such thing as a cheap Jesus. Mm-hmm. Write that down. That's very profound. There's no such thing as cheap Jesus. And the world's way of doing things, guys, has become so cheap to me. It's become so chintzy. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they make some really good bougie costume jewelry today. But how do you remember your grandma's costume jewelry? It was like, I think this is like poisonous to wear. You know, this is falling apart in my hands. I don't understand this. And that's what the world's ways that's what they look like to me right now. It's just cheap, it's fake, it's empty. And if we want to take back God's best, if we want to see his restoration in our life, we can't be like the world. So here's what I want you to see. Here's a great example. God is love. So I have a cousin who said, God is love. And she used that to excuse on social media platforms her daughter's sexual sin in a very public way. Like, if you challenge this at all, number one, you're judging, which is America's number one cardinal sin. Judge not. You actually read that passage out. It doesn't just say judge not. It says judge not lest ye be judged. Take the plank out of your own eye before you help your brother. In other words, don't go telling everybody what to do when you've got your own junk in your trunk. It does not mean you can never make a godly discernment about anybody. But America wants to say, if you make one discernment, if you have one opinion about me, you're judging me. Well, you're even missing what the Bible word judge means. Judge means to send you to hell. I'm judging you to hell. That person's going to hell. To hell with you. You know what I'm talking about? That's a little country, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not judging someone when you make a discernment. Say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. We don't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. And we're here to help you. We want to get behind you. But you have to deal with this. Well, God is love. Love to the world means unconditional acceptance.
It's one-dimensional.
It's as thin as this paper. Mm-hmm. But love isn't one-dimensional.
Right.
God's love has depth to it. It believes the best for sure, mm-hmm. but it also guards and protects. The love of God corrects us directly. The love of God is also going to give. But if it's just give and acceptance and no opinions, that's the world's love.
Right.
But it's a counterfeit. It's a shamrock shake. It's not real. It's going to give you gas. It's all air. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Things you can only get at New Chapel. But here's what I'm trying to say. When we say God is love and we go along with what the world says about it and we miss, it is just, it's crazy. So we have to stand on God's word and what he says about things and find out what he says in his word about what he says in his word. What does that mean? So if he says love, what does he say about love in another spot? Don't just define it by the English definition. Well, that's not loving. I'm going to tell you something about my grandma. We have time. My gosh, you guys have 2-hour services without me. So listen, you're okay. I'm going to get you out in just good time. We had someone in our family that had an addiction. Bad addiction, it would tore up our whole family. And we said, well, no, we're going to have some distance from this person. And my grandma said to me, and she's with the Lord now, she loved God, but it was deception. She said, well, is that really the love of God? Yes, it was. grandma, you don't know. And some little Tweety Bird grandma has an idea about what love is. Well, amen. I love my grandma. She was so loving in so many ways. She was not loving with a standard like that. No, you're going to sin like that. We're not going to bring that chaos into this house. Does that make sense? And so it's not neutral. It does a lot of damage in the wake of it all.
And we've learned who God is.
We have.
We've learned it together through seeing things that don't go our way, through seeing things where that was not God's will. But still, despite those things, we've learned that hard things don't need to turn us off from God. Right. They don't need to make us go far away from Him. We've learned that in spite of hard things, that God is always with us. And He's always, even in those hard things, He's always trying to get something to us.
Yeah, it's amazing how we can trust God with our eternity, with our eternal salvation. But in so many ways, gang, we choke on trusting Him with some of the daily issues that we face enjoying heaven on earth.
Yeah,
you know?
We think that He doesn't want us to enjoy our life right now.
That's crazy.
That's such a lie.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You can live godly today. You can live in truth today. God can bless you when culture says, we're doing this. You can do what God says, and He'll still bless you.
Amen.
Makes me think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you bow, you will burn.
Yep.
But if you don't bow,
Amen.
You won't burn.
Right.
I'm not bowing to the way of the world. And I've modeled that. We've modeled that for you. When everybody else was shutting down, that's when New Chapel sent out postcards about the cool new series we're having, because I'm not shutting down for Jack. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? And so you've got to go against the grain of the world. I'm not talking about being foolish or using no wisdom. Man, we went through hoops. You know what I'm talking about, but you got to do what God says. John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. You think following God's standard is going to mean steal, kill, and destroy, a subtraction. Like I thought becoming a Christian was going to be boring. It's not true. It's a lie. It's deception. Let me tell you something right now. God wants you to have the abundant life. And when culture's going buck wild and just how they treat their children right now is insane to me. Insane to me. Go off it, Bev. You go against the grain. You raise your kids up in the Lord. Your kids are hanging out with people that they shouldn't. Listen to me, Mom. Listen to me, Dad. Step in, sever. Done. You're not hanging out with those people anymore.
Yep.
I choose my kids' friends.
Yep.
You don't get to choose your own friends. I'm going to have godly influences. If we got family that's acting crazy, you're not going to go hang out with them.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? And you can raise your kids. You can live in your... You can live apart from this world. You can be in it, but not of it. And God will bless you. Write this down. Let's be aggressive about finding the areas of deception in our walk with God. So last week, Pastor Tommy would have said incomplete, right? And only Pastor Tommy with those beady little eyes, that ginger, can look at you and say incomplete. And you're like, yes, God, you know. If I did that to you, you'd be weeping, you know. Like, oh my gosh, you know. But here's what it's all about. Find the area where you're off and get on where you're supposed to be. Get on the X. You know what I'm saying? And God's gentle and kind, and He wants to help you to get there and take ground. Wow.
I asked you earlier some of things that you feel like you've given up on, that, well, those things, they just aren't for me. Well, when God was showing me about my ice cream, the picture that He gave me was this. Imagine two little kids, they're like fighting over a toy. I have my two older boys.
I don't
boys.
Have to imagine it.
Well, yeah, I know, my two older boys, they're constantly, that's mine, and they will just yank it right back, and they're kind of used to it now. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, that is yours. And there's, it kind of like, let's go kind of easy when they take each other's things back from one another. And so those things that you feel like the enemy has taken from you, when you are faced with those things, what I want you to picture is like my little kids, they're taking back what's theirs. You gotta take it back. Take back healing in your life. When my son, last week, he wasn't feeling well. And like I said, healing was something for me. I'm gonna be very honest with you. I believe God's the healer. But sometimes I struggle because of my past experience. And so my son is struggling, he's not feeling well. But you know what rose up in me? Healing is mine. I know God. God told me tomorrow I'm going to live on the moon. God said healing is mine.
Right.
Devil, get your hand off my son now. We're not going to have the flu here. We're not doing it. It's not mine. Healing is mine in the name of Jesus. Did it happen right away? not right that second, but 2 minutes later, oh, you better believe the Holy Ghost was in that room because I took back something that was mine. And guess what? The enemy let go a little bit easier than what I thought he was going to. Just like my sons, they know that they're holding their brother's toy. Okay, here you go. That is yours, isn't it? Yeah, it's mine. And so those things that you think, that promotion that you think, well, no, it's all good, take it back. Take back right. Those things that God wants to give you.
Sometimes it scares me when you pray.
Yeah. we don't have to repeat all those.
You know, the amazing thing is I was there and she said it didn't happen instantly, it happened in 2 minutes. Think about that. That's pretty quick. But in that 2 minutes, how much doubt hits your head? I think for some of you in the room, that in the scripture says that the body is held together by the joints and the sinews. And the joints, those 2 minute moments when you're believing God and you don't see it and you give up in 2 minutes.
Yep.
And I'm just telling you right now, stop doing that. Stop doing that. You know, I'm me, so I'm just going to say it. I'm sick of people being passive. Stop being passive with your stuff. With your kids' health, with your health, with your Lord gives, Lord takes. We just give it up and give it up. Man, get tenacious. No,
that's
God
right.
Promised me this. I worked hard for this. God, I'm not going to give up the blessing of God so easy. I'm going to fight for this thing. You know what? On the other end, I'm going to win. And so in those moments, those 2 minute little moments, that's where so many in the room where you're missing it, where you fall to temptation. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? So, what do we do with this, Pastor Joe? I'm glad y'all asked. We want to help you. Number one, go for the real thing. Seek God's best and avoid deception. You need to go for the real thing. So there's areas that I think are pretty clear that this is the world's way of doing things and this is God's way. But then there's areas that, not to make you so you go nuts and second guess yourself, but if the Lord's ministering to you about something, wrestle it down and find God's truth about it. And so there's a lot of deception out there. And, we are so censored on Facebook. I'm on so many lists, everybody. Like,
nobody sees our stuff anymore.
Yeah, nobody sees our stuff anymore. And if you do, like, you're just as nuts as I am. And so that's the only reason why you see my stuff.
My group.
Yeah, we have thousands of people be able to see our stuff on New Chapel. And so they've actually curbed New Chapel stuff at this point. And here's the deal. People can't hear truth like they could before.
Right.
Well, you're here right now and you're hearing it. By the way, that's one of the best ways that you're going to be able to get truth is in the house of God. But listen, you need to be in this place.
Number two, he took my mind from me. Make church a thing.
Make it a thing.
Because here you're going to be able to come. We're censored, like you said, on Facebook. We can't get the word out like we used to. But think of the people in your circle that maybe they are kind of like an anonymous Christian. They don't really get plugged in anywhere, but they used to be able to go online and hear truth or find things here and there. It's going to become harder for them. And you know what? A lot of people, when it becomes hard, they give up. And so they don't connect. So you need to connect with this place, this church, or wherever your local church is. You need to connect. And you need to get butts in seats because people need to hear the truth. We read earlier, truth sets people free.
Yeah.
Church is like oxygen. You need it to breathe. And there are people that they're getting choked out. They're not being able to hear the truth. And so you need to get connected to a church because you need to connect to what God loves. God made it so clear in his word. He loves the local church. So you need to get connected.
And listen, if you're watching this online and you're ready to come out of hiding, we're here for you. There's real people that still hang out. And so you can come out of hiding. Wear your mask. Don't wear your mask.
Right.
We're not leaning on you. Mm-hmm. But why don't you hang out with us? And that leads me to number three. Guys, let's make groups a thing, right?
Amen.
Let's plug into them. You're like, oh, man, they started last week. Listen, you didn't miss anything. You jump in both feet. If you know that you were supposed to jump in, you're like, whatever reason you didn't do it, you need to do it. And it's newchapel.com/groups. All the info, where it meets, everything is on there. And you just show up. If you're looking for like an email response, you may or may not get one. Just show up at what time it says and jump into the group, everybody. You need relationships. You know, there's been times where I've been so tired and I'm trying to figure stuff out. And Kyle looks at me and says, just take a nap. Sometimes she adds on to that, you're driving us all nuts, you know?
Go take a nap.
You know how you get? Like, you're just not thinking straight. And in this world, the fatigue that Big Sister's putting on everybody, and this world is just oppressive right now, where we got to get out of that junk, and you got to have somebody else be like, hey, you're talking crazy.
Yeah.
Or you need to take a rest. you need to get out of the state and go shopping, you know, or whatever it is. But like, you need some other points of view because you have blind spots. And you know the wild thing about blind spots is you can't see them. The people in your car can see them. Make sense, everybody? And so it's all about a relationship with God. You have to be connected with Amen. Him. And that's what I want to give time and place to do right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you came into the room today, you say, Pastor Joe, I don't know God. Or maybe you knew God, knew about him, put up Christmas trees and hid Easter eggs, but your faith has not penetrated. You're like that rock in the water that if we were to take it and hit it on the ground and bust it open, the water never penetrated the rock, right? You're hard-hearted. I'm telling you right now, today's your day to get your life right with God. And it's not about never sinning again, never making it. Here's what it is. It's about making it right with God and saying, God, I'm sorry for the thing that I did make it. I love you and I make you Lord. And when you do that, that relationship that you broker with God, it's through Jesus. You call him Lord, and it's strong enough to carry through heaven. Eternal life starts the moment that you prayed it. I can't tell you that everything in your life will be perfect day one, but your worst day is so much better with Jesus. You'll have peace beyond all of that junk. And so what I want to do is online and in the room, I want to say this prayer out loud. I want you to pray, and if you mean it, the Bible says that you'll be saved. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put your spirit within me. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give it up for those people that accepted Christ? Hallelujah. Listen, before we dismiss today, you know, if you said that prayer for the first time, I just want to say thank you and congratulations. You made a relationship with God, and don't let anybody talk you into something that is more difficult. You gave your heart to Jesus today and meant it. You are in the kingdom of God. But we as a family, we as a church family, we don't want you to be out on a desert island alone. And so we want to send you information about next steps. The best way to do that is in the same way that people are doing that who are first-time visitors or who have prayer requests. That's on those connection cards, or it's digitally online at newchapel.com. Please let us know that you prayed that prayer. We'll send you the note talking about next steps, water baptism, just information that you need, but then also like how we can help you. And then further, we're going to be praying for you by name over the next several weeks. Listen, you want that. And so God is up to great things. Church, are we excited what God did in people's lives today? Let's give it up for him. Stand up on your feet, gang. Did y'all get anything out of this message? Do you like it when Kai and I preach like this? Here, come, you're way far away. Come here, push that chair back. We don't like that. We're in unity, everybody. It's Valentine's Day. And so, listen, from our family to yours, we love you and we pray for you. We walk our house praying for you. Last night we did it. And so we want you to get plugged in. Go join a group. Don't be turned off by it. You need to be in a group. Next week, I'm going to be preaching a message that's straight from heaven. You don't want to miss it. So what I'm going to ask you to do is invite someone to church. People need this message of hope. And we believe this, that we're not waiting on revival. We don't need to schedule it. We're in it right now. You want revival? Get a sinner saved. That's revival, everybody. And so from our family to yours, we love you. Let's pray for you real quick. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, have a great weekend. I love you guys.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.